Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, I'm Kyle Madsen, that's James Hamm. We're the Insiders hanging out with you until noon here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. At noon, we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Joining us right now, one of the greats to ever do it, covers the 49ers for The Athletic, formerly the Sacramento Bee, also former Virginia Cavalier, Matt Barrows, joining us now. Matt, how's it going, man?
It's going well. I feel so much better now that one half of our regional nightmare is over, the Brandon Ayuk signing.
Yeah, did that. So the Brandon Ayuk signing comes down last night, 4 years, $120 million, $76 million guaranteed. Did any of that aspect of the deal surprise you at all when the numbers came down?
No, but you know, the fact that it wasn't surprising is surprising because back in April when Amon-Ra St. Brown signed his deal, I mean, all of us kind of looked at it and like, you know what, that's about what this Brandon Ayuk deal should be at. That was like, again, that was in April, and here we are late August, almost September, and lo and behold, that's exactly what this deal looks like. We'll have to wait for the details, but what we've been doing these last 5 months, I mean, it seems like a lot of unnecessary emotional stress that not just 49ers fans, but it's Pittsburgh, it's Cleveland, it's Washington, it's New England, et cetera, et cetera. If they had gotten this done back then, we would have, saved a lot of angst, I think.
Yeah. Matt, when you look at the way that this team, you know, you're coming off a Super Bowl loss. We always know there's oftentimes a hangover off a Super Bowl loss. It feels like they can't get out of their own way with these contract situations that, once again, just add even more pressure and more sort of vibe killing to what's happening. Do you worry about that going into the season? I mean, the injury possibilities for Ayuk and Trent Williams when he does sign is one thing, but just the overall, like, it doesn't feel like it's a feel-good offseason for this team.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do remember last year having a similar feeling. Maybe it wasn't to this degree, but remember what was happening last year. Nick Bosa wasn't signed until the Thursday before the game, and everything regarding Trey Lance was just a wet blanket over this team. Mm-hmm. I mean, they traded the guy that was going to be their quarterback savior. And he lost out the number two role to Sam Darnold. That dominated all of training camp. And so going into Pittsburgh, I remember that it was just an oddball feeling about the team. You know, were they going to get off to a slow start? Everybody in Pittsburgh was really eager about that team. And then, you know, the game starts and the 49ers just trounce them. Mm-hmm. And so that oddball vibe is gone by halftime. And I think there's the potential for that to happen this year. I don't know. I'm just saying that, and I agree with you, but I do think that there's a prisoner of the moment type of thing that goes on that, you know, kind of colors how you look at the whole season, what's going to happen. You know, they could be, 13-4. Yeah. Win the NFC West with a couple of weeks to go. So, I don't know. I think I would go with kind of last year's precedent and say it's not going to affect them very much beyond the first couple of games.
Talking with Matt Barrows, covers the 49ers for The Athletic. What do you make of the reporting that there was this four-year, $120 million deal, $76 million guaranteed, had been on the table for 17 days before Ayuk accepted?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of interesting how that came out. Mm-hmm. And I think it kind of speaks to, you know, how these negotiations are a competition between the team and the agent. I mean, you saw, you know, the Schefter stuff is coming from the team, mm-hmm. and then you see the agent very quickly responding to it. So, I mean, it kind of shows you, you know, going back to what I said about why didn't this deal get done in April, both sides wanted to win the deal. We can debate who won it, but I think that's what's going on. It is interesting that, you know, the 49ers are basically saying, you know, we didn't capitulate. We didn't all of a sudden raise our offer to get Ayuk on the field. They did, however, raise their offer from what it started out at in May, which was $26 million a year. So 26 to 30 is significant. They're just saying the last 2 weeks it never came up.
Matt, the other side of this is the Trent Williams situation. You started by talking about it, but what are you hearing? What is it that's holding this deal up? Is it just guaranteed money? Is it multiple years? Or is it just something that, like, they've got it, like, Trent doesn't want to be in camp until the last second and doesn't want to, you know, spend his time in away from home?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I mean, this is just a guess. I don't have any of those answers. But to me, it's a lot like the Nick Bosa deal. There hasn't been the pressure to get him in. I mean, everybody thought that Williams would get his deal done first because of the rhetoric we were hearing from the 49ers. Oh, we've been in contact. We feel good about Trent Williams coming in. But that also means that there wasn't the pressure that the Ayuk deal had. Like I said, the rhetoric is very kind of similar to what we were hearing about Nick Bosa last year. And like I said, that lasted up until the Thursday before the season. Would not shock me if this lasted up until the Friday before a season that begins on Monday. So I don't know. I think Trent Williams is kind of looking, obviously, long-term. I think he's looking long-term this season. Being on the field in December and January is way more important to him than being on the field in September. I just don't know how eager he is to kind of get here, knowing that, you know, it's going to be a taxing season. I'm probably not going to play 17 regular season games. He hasn't done a full season in a decade. I think all that is goes into the calculus, and it's why this one is lingering right up until the start.
So do you think there's nothing the 49ers can realistically do? Like, if they said, hey, here's 3 years, $90 million, fully guaranteed, signed, sealed, delivered, do you think he still wouldn't accept because he's focused on more the calendar than the dollars?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, I don't know, that the impetus hasn't been there to kind of move it to the point where the 49ers make this really sweetheart deal. Maybe it does now that Ayuk is down, now that they know the lay of the land. You know, that's another huge factor in this. They know what the future looks like for their cap, so they can earmark it. I'm just saying that, you know, that hadn't been done to this point.
Sure.
You know, Matt, we see that Brandon Ayuk, of course, he signs. What does that mean for the other receivers? Who do you think is sort of the odd man out, the short straw here, when it comes to the receiving group that now looks a little bit crowded?
I mean, we've all been circling Deebo Samuel's contract because the 49ers have an easy out from it at the end of the season. So I think that plan is still in place. I mean, lots of things can happen between now and March when they would have to make that decision. But Deebo Samuel has been preparing himself like he's going to get a second bite at free agency before he's 30 years old, which is the ultimate dream for these guys. So he does not seem like an unhappy person at all. In fact, I would say it's quite the opposite. He seems more content than he's been in years. He seems like a motivated person. And I think that this is all by design. I think the 49ers crafted that contract this way so that this year, Deebo Samuel, who's had weight issues, or at least the 49ers have thought that he should be slimmer than he's been in previous seasons, is motivated and has a great season. This is all sort of the calculus to try to, you know, push this team over the top in 2024.
Talking with Matt Barrows, covers the 49ers for The Athletic. You think, is Christian McCaffrey going to be good to go week one?
I think so. We've been watching him work out on a side field for the last 2 weeks, and he seems to be pushing it pretty hard. You know, my thought is they have this bonus practice on Tuesday. Remember, they're playing on Monday, so the week is a little bit skewed. You know, I expect to see him there. I expect to see Juwan Jennings then. I expect to see Isaac Garendo. The only guy who is really a question mark, who's, you know, on the active roster right now, is Yetur Gross-Matos. And that would be a big deal because they're not real deep at defensive end. Mm-hmm. Most of these guys should be back. You know, Ricky Pearsall's shoulder continues to be a question. Is that shoulder healthy enough to go through a full contact game? Right now, he's going through non-contact style practices.
You mentioned Yetur Gross-Matos. He's dealing with the knee sprain. He's week to week. His status for week one is in question. But just bigger picture, are you surprised at how they went about handling their defensive line this offseason? Because for me, and if you disagree, please let me know. We'll just make sure to never have you on again. if you disagree, let me know. It feels like that group is thinner than it's been at any point in the last couple of years, specifically at the defensive end spot, where Gross-Matos, if he's not there, it's kind of like, man, it's Bosa, it's Leonard Floyd, it's Robert Beal, and then not a lot else.
Yeah, I mean, it was thin last year. Mm-hmm. So thin that they made not one but two trades at defensive end at midseason. So, it's the most bizarre thing. They pour all these resources into defensive end, and yet they always, to your point, seem to be thin there. Mm-hmm. And, I agree. I mean, we're talking about Robert Beal being one of the kind of the stalwarts there. We don't know anything about Robert Beal.
Wait, four games.
Robert Beal barely played last season. Yeah. I think that he's going to be good, but it's all projection. Mm-hmm. You're right. He's one of these guys that they're going to count on. Mm-hmm. Another guy, Sam Okwuanu, who I call Sam O because I don't want to botch his name.
Sure.
But, not a household name by any degree. If Gross-Matos is not healthy enough to play in this Jets game, Sam O is going to be up, and there's going to be a lot of people wondering who the heck number 91 is because he got very little pub this summer doesn't have much of a background in the NFL.
You know, Matt, one of the names that you didn't mention there is Talano Hufanga. Like, what are we seeing from him? He's coming off the knee injury. They've sort of bought the insurance policy, bringing in another player, but he is back. And just how has he looked? What have you seen on the field from him?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen much. He's only practiced one day, and the 49ers are definitely easing him in. My sense is that he won't play in week one just because it's so early. I cover this team through the Trent Baalke era where they seem to draft two ACL guys a year. And so I think there's this notion that the ACL, we've conquered it. Modern science has figured out how to solve the ACL. I don't think that at all. I think it's still a really problematic injury that, costs athletes their careers. I think the 49ers are very encouraged by Talano Hufanga, but, I think there's a real risk of being too ambitious with that. So, they obviously think that he's going to be able to play in this first month, or else they would have kept him on PUP to begin the season. But to me, week one just seems so ambitious for someone who didn't practice all summer long.
Matt, thank you so much for your time, man. Really happy that football is back. I'm really happy that we're past the Brandon Ayuk thing, so we can move on to the Trent Williams saga and hope that that one's done relatively soon. Matt, thank you for all the great work you do. I'm going to call you Matt B, though, because I don't want to mess up the last name. So Matt B, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a tough one. It's one of those Anglo-Saxon ones. Yeah. They're hard to pronounce. It's
the silent R. I mean, it's just...
the second R is silent. Yeah, that fools a lot of people.
Matt Barrows covers the Niners for The Athletic. Thanks so much, man.
All right. Anytime.
See you, Matt. One of the best, Matty B. I love that guy.
He's a good dude.
Very, very good dude.
Yeah.
Man, you know what? If I had to bet money today that Trent Williams plays week one, I think I'm betting no.
Really?
Yeah. What Matt said just now about Trent wanting to make sure that he's good to go for December and January, and he's not so concerned about September, that leads me to believe that, yeah, hey, if I got to miss a week and, yeah, it's fine. They're really close to what I want. It's not quite there. I could take it, but no, I'm gonna see if they'll come up to whatever number I'm thinking. I'm just making stuff up. I want 30 a year. They're at 29. I'll just wait until they get to 30. They'll get there eventually. If I got to miss a couple games, if they're not there by September 26th, okay, cool. I'll accept 29, but I'm just gonna wait.
Yeah, it seems like it, right?
Yeah.
Like, and for a player who has who has a Hall of Fame, all the Hall of Fame credentials, like he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you kind of just, you're okay with it. If you're the Niners at age 36, you're going to give him some leeway here.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if this should bleed into the regular season, especially, I mean, they,
you'd hope not.
You really, I don't know what they're going to do to fill that void if he's not there. I mean, certainly long term. I know what's a Brandon Moore can, we'll see how he does, but
Jalen Moore,
Jalen Moore, sorry.
Brandon Moore, former Niners defensive end, I think.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Or
that's right.
Linebacker,
outside linebacker.
Maybe
I think he was an outside linebacker in the 4-4.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds right. Now I'm going to look it up. See? Rabbit holes. There are so many Brandon Moores in NFL history.
Oh, no.
All right, here we go. I'm going to try this one. 2002 sounds about right. Yep. He was a linebacker for the 49ers.
Yeah.
From 2002 to 2007 with San Francisco. 15 sacks in 88 games.
Oh, okay.
Good for him. Came back randomly in 2010. Was out of the league in 2008-2009. Came back in 2010 with the Chargers.
Wow.
Cool.
All right.
Anyways, yeah, Jalen Moore is the left tackle if Trent Williams isn't there. And he's the only other tackle on the roster?
That's not good.
Offensive tackle? So if they have an injury at tackle in week one and Trent Williams isn't there, you're now playing a person at tackle who has not played tackle in the NFL at all?
Yeah.
That's a tough... That's where it feels to me like the 49ers have a good idea, or thought they had a good idea, that Trent Williams would be there week one.
Mm-hmm.
They were confident because, yeah, hey, if you have Trent Williams and you have Colton McKivitz and now you have Jalen Moore as the backup tackle, that's great. That all works out. Thumbs up. But if that's it, you don't have Trent Williams, now all of a sudden you're calling people off the practice squad maybe. Maybe you're re-signing one of your, you're quickly re-signing one of your guys that you cut before the offseason.
Yeah,
Chris Hubbard or Brandon Parker is the other guy's name.
Just to get depth, that's not a good
thing. Yeah, just to have a body in the building.
That's not a good thing.
It's not where you want to be.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's tough. I'm interested to see once Trent Williams does sign, I think we'll get some more reporting because the Brandon Ayuk deal happens and we immediately get additional context.
Mm-hmm.
We immediately get... Oh, this deal's been on the table for a while. And, oh, hey, they had a deal with the Steelers and they were going to flip that pick to the Broncos, but the Broncos said no. Like, all of that. Like, where was this 2 weeks ago? Like, where was... So, I think once the Trent Williams deal finally happens,
mm-hmm.
if it happens, maybe he'll retire. But if and when that Trent Williams deal finally happens,
yeah,
I think we're going to get some additional reporting on those negotiations.
I think that, and I think everyone's just going to have the understanding that, again, when a player gets to this point in their career, a lot of times they just don't want to be part of the whole camp thing, and they do need extra time. And like, look, he walks on the field, and he's one of, if not the best player, he's one of the best players on the field every single time he steps on the field.
Yeah.
And I don't think he needs a lot of preparation to do that.
No, I don't think so either.
It would have been nice to see him work alongside, sort of your younger guards.
Sure.
So and maybe even work with a guy like Jalen Moore.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure that he can do much to help Jalen Moore.
Yeah, not at this point. Jalen Moore's been in the league for 4 years now.
Yeah, this is fourth season. Yeah. So either you got it or you don't.
Yeah, man, yeah. It's less. The reason I say if I had to bet today that I would bet Trent Williams isn't on the field week one, is A, because of what Matt Barrows just said, but B, I was with that line of thinking that he just wanted to miss everything.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't you just have agreed to a deal within the last couple of days then?
Yeah,
and maybe he's going, hey, I got a barbecue planned for Memorial Day weekend, Labor Day weekend. Jeez.
He's got his fantasy
calendars,
football draft.
Right? Hey, calendars. They're super new. I'm still getting used to them.
He's very much like ready for his fantasy football draft on Monday. Like, I don't really want to.
I'll catch that flight Tuesday.
You know how many times I've missed my fantasy football draft and had to auto draft because I have to be at practice?
I've got a barbecue. This guy, James, brings a nacho bar. That's great. My flight's Tuesday. You can report Monday night. Nice little Labor Day weekend news drop. I don't know why Trent Williams talks like that in my brain, but...
Yeah, I don't think so. That's not the voice he has.
No, I promise it's not.
Yeah.
But...
I think it's interesting that Matt mentioned that that Trent hasn't played a full season in a decade.
He hasn't.
Yeah, and I mean, he's only played two full seasons ever. It's 16-game seasons, and it was his third and fourth year in the league.
Yeah, what, he missed two games last year?
He played in 17 last year. He played in 14 the year before.
No, he didn't play in 17 last year.
No, 15. I'm sorry. 15, yeah, yeah. 14, 15, and 14. It's Jeez. Really crazy he's been the Niners' left tackle. This will be year five.
Yeah, dude. Isn't that wild?
It is wild because I didn't...
That happened during the... I will never forget this because it was during the pandemic. And I guess I should say the height of the pandemic. Because that was April of 2020.
Mm.
And things in my town had just kind of started to open back up with, like, you know, limited hours, or the coffee shop that I was at was open, but you couldn't stay there. They were to go only still. And we hadn't had coffee at that coffee shop in a while. And it was the Sunday of day three of the NFL draft. I was like, you know what? This is a long day for me. Day three of the NFL draft for me at Niners Wire and for everybody at the Wire sites and NFL bloggers everywhere mm-hmm. is like a slog. Because that starts at, I think, 9 a.m. Pacific. And then you're not done. And you're writing all day.
Yeah.
You're not done until probably 6, 7 p.m. once all the undrafted free agent stuff has stopped. It is a long day. So I'm going to go get a nice coffee. I'm going to enjoy. And I'm at the coffee shop waiting for my order, mask on, socially distanced, all that. And hey, Joe Staley's retiring. Like, oh God, I got to write this. So I sit down at the coffee shop to write it. And as that comes down, I get a text in one of my group chats. It's like, hey, it sounds like this Trent Williams thing is percolating.
Mm.
Like, ah! So I had to run into my car, got to get home. And then by the time I got home, the Trent Williams deal was done for a fifth and a future third.
The NBA draft used to drag on forever. So the whole day you're on high alert that there might be a trade mm-hmm. leading up to the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to get there way early. Like normally I drive down, I'm in like at a coffee shop somewhere in case something happens.
Yeah.
And then once the draft actually starts at like 5 o'clock, it used to be that they did the first round and then the second round. And then you had to wait until the GM is done. And then you had to wait until the players are done doing all of their engagements in New York. And then they come on for a Zoom call or they come on for a phone call. So like you're not getting out of there until 11 or 12. Like it was a late night. But splitting it up and going to a 2-day draft makes it easier for us, especially when you don't think that the Kings are going to actually draft their second round picks.
Yeah.
So it makes it much easier, but it used to be just like what you're talking about, just one of the longest days of all time.
Yeah. It's a slog, but also of all the jobs that you can have where you're going to have a long day,
yeah.
sitting at a computer and writing about sports is one that not gonna complain too much about. Yeah, that's crazy. Trent Williams, year five at the Niners.
That's crazy.
Does he go down? Does he fall into the bucket? Because you don't go into the Hall of Fame as a team like you do in MLB.
Okay.
So the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you don't go in as a Niner or a Raider or okay. whatever. But do you think Trent Williams will be remembered more as a 49er or as a Washington football teamer?
I think he will be remembered as a 49er.
Hmm.
I don't know. I mean, he certainly was great with them, but...
He wasn't all pro till San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the problem. You know, he was an all-pro, second team all-pro in 2015.
Oh, that's right.
But, you know, we're talking about a dude who's got so many Pro Bowl appearances. He's 11-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro.
He was with Washington for, what, 10 years? 9 seasons with Washington. And then he had the season, the 2019 season he missed because of his head cancer.
Yeah.
I think he needs 3 more years with the 49ers to be a 49er.
You think that many?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if he wins a Super Bowl with the Niners.
Yeah, then that stamps it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this will be 5, so 3 more seasons would be 7. He'd have 7 in San Francisco, 9 in Washington. Yeah, I feel good about that. I feel good about that take.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I agree
also
with
feel
you.
Good about going to a break right now.
Let's do it.
Sacramento's next exciting athlete. We'll familiarize you with them next on The Insiders. He's James M. Kyle, Jiffy Lube's sponsor on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I have a friend who's an artist, and a very, very good one.
Oh, yeah?
Like, makes his living selling his art.
Oh, okay.
In various forms. And he always loops me in, like, hey, can you comment on it? Can you promote this? Can you do this? Da, da, da. And you know, and he wants me to help him promote his stuff, which is great. But he'll also send me like, hey, and he has a whole group. I'm not exclusive here. He loops me in on the, hey, this sale's going down tonight. Be there. Da, 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 da. Like, brother, I don't got it like that. I don't, because he charges what he should be charging for his stuff.
Yeah.
People are willing to pay this premium. People like Kenny are willing to pay this premium for like, I'm not spending multiple hundreds of dollars on a t-shirt.
Okay.
I'm not, but I get people who do, like, I'm not begrudging him. It's me. I'm the problem.
Is he a t-shirt art guy?
Well, no, he does everything. He does shirts. He does like trading cards.
Well, yeah, but
he does big like canvas style, not canvas, but like, yeah, canvas art.
Yeah. Well, Kyle, that's where you need to be like more forceful with your friend and say, don't you know who you're asking? I am the Kyle Madsen. I have a radio show on ESPN 1320. You want me to promote your work? I'm going to need a piece for the house.
No, and if he asked me to do something on the radio,
yeah.
A, I can't do that because that is illegal. But B, he just like, hey, can you comment on this? And liked it because it helps the algorithm, right?
Okay.
You just like,
yeah.
Trying to get that, which is fine. That's super easy. I put some fire emojis. I like the post and that's what it is. It's the like, hey, tap in to buy something. Like, no, you can leave me out of this, dude. Not that I don't like it. There's definitely stuff that I'm like, man, if I could cop that, I would.
I'm going to need like to look that, it up. Like
this is something I would buy, but I don't. And he just sent me something today that was like, hey, we got this going on tonight. I'm like, you enjoy. Not
forward it over. I want to look at all of his stuff now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you after the show.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not going to say who it is because, hey, no free promo.
No, that's okay.
No free promo.
There you go.
I mean, never mind. Anyways, he's James. I'm Kyle. Yeah, we're going to bring the Ramit video back for the handoff. It's coming up in about 10 minutes.
The greatest videos of all time.
I really can't wait. Next year, barring disaster, the Athletics baseball team will be playing in Sacramento at Sutter Health Park. And I've talked again and again about how this is a cool time for Sacramento to, not only get a Major League Baseball team, but in particular get this one where I think that this is a really good group of players who you're starting to see as this season comes to a close and how well they've played over the last 2 months, that this is a legitimately good baseball team. The A's have a, I don't want to say good baseball team. This is an up-and-coming baseball team.
Yes.
With a lot of exciting players. I think Lawrence Butler, the A's outfielder who had 3 home runs yesterday, left-handed hitter, sweet swing, has a ton of fun playing the game. I think he is going to be a superstar.
Oh.
I think people around baseball are going to know who Lawrence Butler is. And maybe not because he's not going to be a 40-40 guy. He's not going to hit 60 homers. It's not going to be anything crazy like that. I just think the fact that he hits for power, and the way, like I said, his swing is just awesome. But I think he's going to be the type of player that has big three homer games, has walk-off hits, has incredible catch in the outfield, has, I think he is going to be a player who everybody knows by next season, maybe the one following.
Yeah, I think he's got an opportunity here. I was looking yesterday. He can actually make a run at Rookie of the Year. He's got like another 20 games to put up his resume. I think the leading like odds makers have like a kid from the Orioles as a top rookie.
Mm-hmm.
And
Colton Cowser.
Yes. And all of a sudden Butler's stats are better. He's got, I think he's passed him in home runs. He's passed him in RBI. Their batting averages are similar. But you're seeing a player who's on the rise. I think when you see a rookie have three home runs in a game twice in his rookie season, that's wild. Like, that doesn't happen very often. And so I think he's gonna be a lot of fun to watch. And I agree with you. They still need more, you know, of course. And I kind of wish that Estuary Ruiz would have been able to play this season and would have been able to sort of fight his way in and be sort of the center field partner with him.
Yeah.
But overall, I think, you know, this team does have a ton of talent. You know, Geloff has had a bad season, but he'll turn it around. And Rooker still under contract for a few years. And mm-hmm. Blade really became a player this year. And then you've got the Soderstroms, and you know, you've got Wilson coming up at shortstop. There's a lot to like about what's happening here.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think we're going to see Lawrence Butler make a run at Rookie of the Year, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'm looking at odds right now. Colton Cowser, the leader, of course. Austin Wells, Willier Abreu, Mason Miller, actually, on this list.
Uh-huh.
I do not even see Lawrence Butler.
No, he's not, but all of a sudden, his stats are equal to what you're seeing from almost every single one of those guys. And there's been plenty of players who have stolen away a Rookie of the Year towards the end of a season.
He has a hard hit rate of 48.9%. That is a lot. Let me go see what Aaron Judge's is, just to give us some context. 48.9% is a really good number, especially for a rookie. Aaron Judge's hard hit rate is 60.2.
Whew.
Whew. Yeah. That's ridiculous. God, Aaron Judge is just insane.
The home run that...
What a time to be a baseball fan, man. There's so many good freaking players in the league.
Yeah. The home run that he hit last night, that Butler hit last
Which
night.
Which one?
His third one where he screamed.
Yeah.
Like 429 mm-hmm. Down the line and left.
Yeah.
And right. Yeah. Absolutely impressive.
Yeah. So...
he's a lot of fun.
He's going to be playing here in Sacramento, and I think he's going to be a legitimate bona fide MLB superstar.
Okay.
I'm really excited about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I land. I think the A's are going to be fun next year, too.
I think they are, too. They need a little bit more pitching, but a lot of the young guys are coming around right now and starting to show, you know, they need to go out and get a bona fide, you know, 2-3 that can, mm-hmm. Buoy the middle of the starting pitcher lineup.
In case you've been asleep, rotation. In case you've been asleep for the last several 15 or so hours, Brandon Ayuk is re-signing with the 49ers. 4 years, $120 million, $76 million guaranteed. I haven't seen a structure yet, which is always very, very important, of course. But even if we talked about, you know, does he play 95% of the snaps week one? Is it 50%? I think just having him on the field in general, mm-hmm. Regardless of how many snaps it is, because it's Deebo Samuel, right? And Juwan Jennings, okay, you feel pretty good about Juwan Jennings. He's stepped up as wide receiver too a handful of times. But after that, there are so many question marks on the roster that even if you're getting 50% of the playing time from Ayuk,
mm-hmm.
you feel so much better about what you can do on offense with him lining up a receiver for half of those snaps instead of having to rely on Jacob Cowing, a rookie, or Chris Conley, a journeyman who has, I think, 26 catches the last 2 years or last 3 years. Having Ayuk back in the lineup just fundamentally changes the Niners passing game for the better, even without Trent Williams.
No, I agree 100%. I mean, you go from being like a solid wide receiver core, maybe not even solid,
mm-hmm.
you know, in today's NFL, to one of the top five or six, like yeah. with one player. You mm-hmm. drop him in and it's like, oh, okay. And I think yeah. the other thing is he really does complete the puzzle, right? So you got Debo who does all of his, you know, the quick slants, and you got mm-hmm. Debo who does the end rounds
mm-hmm.
and all that stuff. You've got McCaffrey out of the backfield. You've got Kittle down the seam. And then mm-hmm. you have this incredible, you know, Ayuk has this incredible ability to play within the 25 to 35 mm-hmm. yard mark. He's not the deep ball guy. Mm-hmm. He's that long mid-range that
10 to 19 intermediate area, yeah.
Yeah, it just opens up the whole field for McCaffrey and mm-hmm. for Kittle. Like, mm-hmm. really, he's the one that stretches the field in a different mm-hmm. way. And then I like Cowling. I think he could be a guy that maybe can be a deep threat guy. You know, maybe he's someone that can blow the top off a defense here and there and give you another spacer for the next level. I just don't know.
I'm pumping the brakes on Cowling.
Yeah.
I'm pumping the brakes on all the rookie hype.
Okay.
It got out of control. Malik Mustafa looked okay. He had a moment or two.
Yeah.
Dominic Pooney has looked great. Kyle Shanahan basically confirmed yesterday that he's going to be the starting right guard. He looked really good in the preseason, but that's not regular season football.
Nope.
Like, you got to see it for Jacob Cowling had a really nice couple of preseason games. One of them against the Raiders team that wasn't playing any starters. So I'm pumping the brakes on the Cowling stuff. If he can contribute as a punt returner, maybe a little gadget player this year, great. And maybe he develops into that. I think the fact that he was impacting games in different levels of the passing game during the preseason, great mm-hmm. sign. Arrow trajectory up for sure. I've seen some stuff about this Niners rookie class. Oh, it's so awesome. Okay, maybe arrow pointing up for a lot of guys, but let's pump the brakes on they hit a bunch of home runs.
Yeah, maybe it's like comparatively to their other rookie classes, then sure. But like
2023 class is tough.
What I like about Cowling is that there's an opportunity for him to not have to run some sophisticated route mm-hmm. and just go
sure.
and maybe give you some sort of option deep mm-hmm. once every couple of games.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be a major piece, but I do think that it's like just another element that you don't have right now.
I think he might take the role that they thought, and this is something you brought up a while ago. I think it's a great point. He's going to be the player they thought Danny Gray was going to be.
Yeah.
Where, hey, you're going to be this deep threat, but also, hey, you can take a screen and know what to do with it. You can run an in-breaking route in the intermediate area, which is where the offense thrives, and do something with it once the ball is in your hands. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was something that Danny Gray ever quite got down, which is why he's not on the team anymore.
It's kind of like the Teddy Ginn idea, like, right? It's the guy that's supposed
Ted Ginn.
That's supposed to like stretch the defense.
That's a great pull by you.
Well, there's a bunch of them that they've tried this with, though, that mm-hmm. didn't work out. You're like, okay, what are we doing here? Even Dante Pettis was supposed to be a guy that had really good speed and could probably mm-hmm. stretch the defense a little bit. And you're like, all right, it didn't work out. But who's the guy, the former Saints receiver that they had like 2 years ago?
Willie Snead?
Yeah, Willie Snead.
He's a practice squad guy, though. They didn't actually bring in Willie Snead. They've tried it in Kyle Shanahan's tenure. They've tried it with Marquise Brown.
Yep.
Marquise Goodwin, not Marquise
yeah.
Brown.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Marquise Goodwin.
Yep.
Who had his best season with Kyle Shanahan. Track speed, legitimate
yeah.
Olympic track speed,
uh-huh.
And had a really good first season. But since then, like Ray McLeod didn't work out, Richie James didn't work out, Danny Gray didn't work out, and Richie James, like seventh round pick, had a nice little tenure with the 49ers, yeah. but didn't ever develop into a legitimate pass catching threat. Yeah, they've just not had that genuine take the top off a defense type of receiver.
But they've tried, and mm-hmm. I don't even know that they really had the quarterback to make that throw, like to legitimately to
yeah,
go out
no
there,
doubt,
like
yeah.
time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know if that's Purdy's forte. Like maybe here and there he can throw a deep ball like that, but you at least need to have the fear of it. I mean, look yeah. at what the Chiefs just went out and you know they got Hollywood Brown, but they also brought in the young guy. Why am I drawing a blank?
Rashee Rice?
No.
Xavier Worthy?
Yeah, Worthy, who has that potential, that Tyreek Hill type potential to, you know, hit the gas and run past everybody. And all that does is, especially if you're going to have your number one wide receiver be Rice, who just loves to go over the middle and do like the same exact thing that Travis Kelce does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to live in that zone with some of your other wide receivers, you need someone who can stretch the defense. So, yeah.
I wanted to look this up because you brought up a good point. The Niners not having a quarterback that would throw it deep. I want to get these numbers right because I have them in my brain, but I don't know if I have them exactly correct. Brock Purdy last season threw it 20 plus yards down the field 47 times. He had 47 pass attempts of 20 or more air yards, according to Pro Football Focus. Had a 99.9 PFF grade on those throws.
Yeah, he's good.
Went 30 of 47 on throws 20 plus yards down the field. I've had it explained to me that what teams look for with your completion rate on those throws is like 3-point percentage.
Oh.
If you're 40 plus percent, you're elite. You know, you're looking for like 36 to 38%, you're really good.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, 33 to 35% is like, okay. And then anything below that is 63.8% completion rate, 11 touchdowns, one interception on those throws, 20 plus yards down the field. Did it 47 times last year. Jimmy Garoppolo in 2021, 33 attempts, 11 completions.
Oh.
Three touchdowns, three interceptions.
Mm.
That's tough.
Purdy
had 14 more attempts, 8 more touchdowns, and 2 fewer picks.
But where does Purdy, like, how often does Purdy throw in air 40 plus yards?
Oh, no, pretty rarely. Like, yeah. He's never going to be a big time arm strength guy.
Yeah.
But when that throw is available, and it's not necessarily the, oh man, going to step into it and throw it 45 yards, 50 yards down the field. It's just, hey, Ayuk or pick a receiver has a step on that DB. There's no safety over the top. I can get this ball to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the key. That was something that Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't very good at. And it's something that they haven't really had a receiver before Ayuk, who that's his. Deebo Samuel's gotten open deep a couple of times. Like we've seen that. George Kittle's capable of doing that. We've certainly seen it, but no, I think if that's the player Jacob Cowling is going to be, like if that's what he's going to provide,
mm-hmm.
then I think maybe he will have a little bit bigger role this year.
Yeah.
In his rookie season, but still I'm pumping brakes.
It would be good to see.
This whole like, man, this Niners rookie class is so great.
I think
I just gotta see it. What's up, Kenny?
Why are you talking about me, dog?
What? No, if I was talking about you specifically, I would have just said, no, it was a piece I read that was, I don't want to call it who it was, but it was just like gushing over how awesome the Niners rookie class is. Like, no, arrow up on a lot of the guys.
Yeah.
But I'm not ready to call it awesome. Can we talk Niners at 12:15?
Sure. Because
you might remember this.
Wait, okay. No, he doesn't have headphones in.
You,
where are your headphones?
They're not headphones.
Hold on, grab your headphones real quick.
Those are mine, usually over there.
Yeah. They're all the way in the thing. What? Okay. All right. What is it?
All right. I'm just going to, I have ways to do this.
Okay.
You're going
to play it? Yeah. Are you familiar with this video that I'm about to play?
Already I'm not.
Okay.
And the title's crazy right now.
Dude, wait till you hear it. All right. Here we go.
I can usually hear some things.
Here's the 1986 Los Angeles Rams theme song.
Come on, man.
Gets better.
It's much better.
Hang on, it gets better. Hang on, we got verses coming. This is just the chorus.
That's Eric Dickerson ramming it.
Yeah, whoa.
Here it comes.
Jack and Slater?
Jack and I'm starting this off. The Rams get down so nobody score. And don't you worry, cause the Rams are rapping. When game time comes, we'll be back to Jackson. We can't.
can't sing and our dance is not pretty, but we'll do our best for the team and the city. So get on your feet and clap your hands. Let's ram it right now with the LA Rams.
Hollywood handsome, Dodge City tough. If you throw it my way, it's gonna get rough. I like to ram it, as you can see. Nobody likes ramming any more than me.
Oh!
Nobody dresses sweeter, but under this cool is a quarterback mistreater. I come from the end, looking for the sack. I don't stop coming till I put him on the back.
Oh!
They call me the demon on special team.
Daddy Hill, take a look at my stock. I catch what they throw me and I like to block. I'm quick off the line as I can be, because I don't want Dick running over me.
Hell no!
Oh my gosh.
What?
Kenny, there's 5.5 minutes of that. It keeps going.
A 5.5 minute long song.
Snap. What in the hell was that? And why have I never seen this before?
I don't know.
Crazy.
I don't know.
That's crazy.
You want a couple more verses?
Please. This is wild.
Where is it?
Baby face and I don't yield. I'm a tackling fool on the football field. From the Jersey Shore to Balboa Bay. If you run at me, you'll have a bad day. This is RB, no speedball brown. Fastest man in the whole damn town. Cars and ladies are a part of my creed. But more than that, I feel the need for speed.
This is catcher, out to make a run. With shades on, I can catch a BB in the dark. So now you're ready and I'm sure you'll agree. The ramming is fun when you're ramming with me.
Whoa. Yo, was this the Rams or Two Live Crew? I don't know. Goodness gracious.
That's insane. Crazy. That's insane. They watched the Super Bowl shuffle and they went, "We know what we're doing.
We got this."
James
discovered this morning. He has no recollection of that song.
We fell into a rabbit hole, and then I looked up Ron Brown, the old wide receiver / who became a defensive back.
Okay.
And hiding on his Wikipedia page, it said he was whatever, Roller Brown or what he called
Speedball Brown.
Speedball Brown in Ram It. And I'm
Oh my gosh. What?
Yeah. So, of course, throw it into YouTube real quick. Just ram it. Like, oh my God.
There was about 3 straight verses in there that was like, yo, what's this ain't about football no more.
Oh, man. I said the 2026 Rams have got to give us a 40th anniversary.
If
rendition.
The Rams were smart, they would bring that back, like the organization, bring that app, play it at SoFi. And just lean into it.
You have to.
Well,
I'd rather that than whose house?
Oh my God.
Rams house.
It's terrible.
The 9 people there in their Rams jerseys.
It's terrible. I made the.
We got like 30 seconds.
I made the observation. I think there's more Charger fans in LA than Rams fans.
No.
Charger fans. Like when you watch a Chargers game, there's really like a lot of Charger fans there.
I'm gonna let that take marinate before I decide.
All right.
Tap in. D'Lo Casey coming up next. I'm on at 12:15. James at 3:00.
Yeah.
Anything else? Brandon Ayuk, obviously.
Brandon Ayuk, man. Chris Biederman pulling up on us. So
love that.
It's gonna be good times.
Awesome. D'Lo and Casey coming up next. James and I done for the weekend until Monday at 10 a.m. Everybody, drink water and be nice, people. Boop.